the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live and you also will live on that day and will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will show myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So as it was stated just a moment ago, that Anna was to preach, and I had to step in. This is one of those things we were teasing each other about. I said, that's one way to get out of having to do the first sermon for the first time in our new congregation with our new church family, but to God be the glory. So the title of the sermon asks a question, and the question that it's asking is, why do you do it? Why do you do it? There are many things that motivate us, and there are many reasons why we do the things that we do. Tell me if any of these sound familiar. Oh, and by the way, before I go too far into my sermon, I just want you all to know that I like conversation. So some of my questions will be rhetorical, but if you feel compelled to answer, please do. I don't want to have to talk to myself for the next 4 hours. Because if you don't answer me back, I'm going to keep saying it until by 5 o'clock, somebody's going to have to order pizza. So, why do we do some of the things that we do? Well, sometimes we do things because we're looking for praises and rewards or acknowledgement. Sometimes we do things because we just want to see the job done right. Amen?
Amen.
And we know that if we leave it to somebody else, they're not going to do as good a job as us. Some of us.
Amen.
Some of us do it because we're compelled, because we don't like to be told that you messed up, you failed. So I'm going to do my best so to prove to you that I can do it and do it right. And then there's others. I do it because I don't like being criticized and talked about. This is just few of the many, many reasons why we do certain things. And these are the things that the world kind of compels us and tells us and teaches us why we should do certain things. But in our passage of scripture, in our gospel reading, Jesus teaches us one more reason why we should do certain things, or why we should do the things that we do. And that is, well, listen to it once again. I'm going to paraphrase on it just a bit. Jesus said, if you love me, do what you're supposed to do. Keep those commandments. And if you can do that, I'll ask the Father to give you something, to give you an advocate, to leave you someone so that you won't feel abandoned like you're an orphan, like I've walked out and left you. And then he goes on and he continues to say that whoever keeps my commandments is the one who truly loves me. And if you don't, well, you've gone on your own way and you're doing your own thing, and obviously you're doing it for your own reasons and not for my own. And then he goes on and he says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show them myself and show myself to them. Amen. When Jesus' time on earth was finished, Jesus could have simply said, look, I've done my job. I've walked with you. I've taught you. I've done miracles. I've inspired you. I've died for you. I'm done. I'm dropping the mic, and I'm going back to heaven to sit and watch what you guys will do with what I taught you. But he didn't do that. There was something about him. There was a love that God had put in his heart that compelled him to do just a little bit more. He says, I know I'm leaving. I have to leave. It's a part of my journey. But when I leave, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you someone who is going to watch over you, protect you, to guide you, to inspire you, to be that helpmate so that when the time comes, you'll be reminded of what it is that you were supposed to do. You'll be reminded of the lessons that I taught you. You'll be inspired continually. And that person that I'm giving you is the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus made that for us, the lesson that we take away from that is first and foremost that whatever we do, we should be compelled and driven by love and nothing else. Not looking for rewards, not looking for accolades, not looking for anything in return. Just simply do what you do because you love God so much that you can't help yourself but to do whatever it is that makes God happy. Amen?
Amen.
Could you imagine living your life in such a way that when you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes and you realize, wait a minute, I'm still on this side of life. I'm excited about that. And the way I'm going to celebrate that is by grumping around and being miserable and telling me, no. It's by doing what God expects of us to do. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then the tricky part, to love your fellow human beings as much and in the way that God has loved you. Amen?
Amen.
And here's the second part. The second part of that, that we take away from this as a lesson, is that we're not supposed to just keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to share that with that next generation. We hear lots of criticisms about why young people don't do things and why they treat us this way and why they act certain ways. Well, did you ever stop and think if we ever taught them how to act, how to love? We think certain things come natural, but sometimes it takes that little bit of extra effort to show someone love and then teach somebody how to love. And then teach them how to share it with somebody else. Church, this is why we do what we do. We do it because we're compelled by God to do these things. Even if that thing we're supposed to do isn't in our job description. Amen.
Amen.
How many times have we encountered people who will not do it because it's not my job? Allow me, if you will, to tell you a short story. I picked this up some years ago, and I just think it's the most intriguing story. It's about a rat and a rat trap. If you've heard the story, don't ruin it for somebody who may have. And if you haven't heard the story, good, you'll get a chance. I'll get a chance to tell it fresh and new. So the story begins as this. There's a group of animals that are living on a farm, and they become the most unlikely of friends. You have a cow, you have a pig, you have a chicken, and the fourth person, the fourth animal in this little menagerie is a rat. And they all taught it about how much they love each other and they care for each other and they look out for each other, and they spent a lot of time just simply doing what friends do, whatever friends do when they're animals. And so on this one fateful day, the rat was in the house, just sort of walking around, well, probably looking for breakfast. And the farmer's wife just happened to look down and she saw the rat and, well, let's just say she lost it. How many are afraid of mice? Let me see some hands. Anybody? I got some funny mice stories I can tell y'all later. And so she immediately got on the phone. She called her husband. She says, honey, we got a rat in the house. We got to do something about this. This is crazy. I can't live here with her. So, of course, he goes, yes, dear. He comes home that evening with a package. And the rat looks out of the mouse, out of the rat hole, and goes, ooh. I wonder what that is. Maybe he bought dinner. Maybe he got it from some real expensive shishi fufu restaurant. And I'll get a chance to enjoy the leftovers like I normally do when everybody's asleep. The farmer takes the package. He lays it on a counter in the kitchen. They open it up. And much to the dismay of the rat, it's a rat trap. So now he's panicking. She goes, oh my God, what am I gonna do with this thing? It's a rat trap. So she immediately runs to the chicken. Chicken, chicken, there's a rat trap in the house. There's a rat trap in the house. What am I gonna do? We gotta do something about this. This is crazy. The chicken goes, oh my God, it's a rat trap. Oh, please. Dismayed, hurt, wondering why his friend wouldn't help him. The rat then goes to the pig. He says to the pig, there's a rat trap in the house. I don't know what to do. This is crazy. I'm beside myself. Something's got to be done. It's going to be the death of us all. And the pig goes, really? I'm a little too big to fit in a rat trap. And so I'm not worried about this. Then he rolls back over and continues his mud bath. Totally disgusted and disillusioned. One more hope. Let me go to my friend, the cow. Goes to the cow and says, there's a rat trap in the house. Something has to be done about this thing. It's going to be the death of us all if we don't do something about this. Come on, I need help. Something, somebody, anybody, listen to me. The cow just says, why don't you go sleep it off? At this point, the rat is just beside himself. He goes back into his hole and he lays there, tossing and turning all night. Can't sleep, worried, feeling rejected by his friends, worried about what the outcome is going to be because of this trap that's now in the house. And as the rat is tossing and turning and just trying to figure out what to do next, the trap closes. The wife of the farmer, she gets up in the middle of the night. She also heard the trap. She runs to the trap without a moment of thinking or slowing down, without turning on the light. She sticks her hand in the trap to pull it out to see what was caught. Turns out that it was not the rat that was caught in the trap, but it was a snake. And a snake bit her. Well, not thinking much of it, I guess she's used to having snakes around the farm. She went and she dressed the wound and washed it up and went to bed. When the morning came, she wasn't feeling well. She was feeling a bit feverish. And after laying there for a while, her husband said, well, honey, home remedies always work well. And so she went. He went and he got the chicken and he made his wife a nice big bowl of chicken soup. Well, not realizing that it was poisonous, and the soup didn't do any good. He called the doctor. The doctor came the next morning and began to work on the wife. But at that point, he had spent the entire day with her, trying to help her, trying to figure out what it is that's going on with her. So he then, the farmer, realized that this poor doctor had been here working all day long, and he's got to be hungry. And so he went and he butchered the pig and made him a meal. There went the pig. Well, as the story continues, it's not a happy ending, but more of a sad ending, because the wife did pass away. And after the funeral, all of the people in town who came to pay their respects came back to the house. And to provide a meal for the number of people who had come to pay their love and respects, he had to butcher the cow. Church, at the end of the story, the only one that was still standing was the grave. The story could have ended differently if those who said they were friends of this rabbi had actually been true friends. Amen?
Amen.
At the end of this story, if each one of those animals had been able to look beyond their own personal issues, their own personal job description, and had just simply responded out of nothing other than love to the needs of their fellow friend, the outcome of this story would have been completely different. Church, this is just a tiny example of how our world, and our world at this moment, being the Second Reformed Church of Hackensack, can be informed by this. Yes, we are all here for different reasons, and we all do what we do for different reasons. But the most important thing that we should always be reminded of is that what we should do because we love God so much that we're doing this not for credit, not for accolades, not because we're worried about failing, but because we love God so much that we want to be the best that we can be, even if it means stepping out of our job description to do something that may even feel beneath us. Church, this is what God calls us to do. That first item, do what needs to be done because we love God. And then the second, don't neglect the children. Don't neglect that next generation that's going to come behind us. We have to teach them. We have to nurture them. We have to love them. This is the legacy that our church will look to live into for the next 162 years. This is the legacy that our church will leave behind. What better legacy to leave than a legacy of love? Amen?
Amen.
And so I challenge all of you to look at what you do. Ask yourself why you do it. And if by chance it's not because you're doing it because you love God so much that you are just compelled to do this to make God happy, then I invite you to rethink why you do the things that you do, and then make those transitions. And at the end of it all, what you'll find is that you'll be a lot more satisfied, a lot more fulfilled in the things that you do, even if you don't get the credit and the praises and the pats on the back that we would hope for when we do things. Amen?
Amen.
Pray with me. Loving God, we thank you so much for the reminder that every now and then we lose focus, we lose track. But God, continue to bless us and to help us to find new ways of bringing joy and happiness to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.